The Carmen and Yurko podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
Live from State Street and the Old National Bank Studio,
this is Carmen and Yurko. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A good Karma Brands radio station.
Yurko, you okay over there?
Right. I'm a little flustered. I'm going to be honest with you. We didn't taste anything.
I got to turn my headphones up and I might graze your leg.
Yeah. Oh, hey, thank you.
You're reaching down below?
Boy, yeah. He's right here between my legs.
I mean, I'm trying to turn
the, my knob, the man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Is like right next to his leg. Yeah. So
Carmen's
so
out
his
today.
Jack is right here.
Right there.
His jack's right next to my jack.
I think Yurko did that on purpose.
Yeah. Well, no, I moved over for Twitch. You guys always yell at me.
No, yeah.
Yurko, get over. Quit relaxing and enjoying your life.
You look fantastic
now. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Abdallah's reaching into my box.
I see him now. There he is.
Your arm looks like a small arm.
Right.
Reaching into the screen as I watch it.
A little bit of a void. No. We did Crosstalk Unhinged upstairs.
Okay.
We're going to tape at 11:15. Not everything worked out. We started about 11:25. Some audio concerns, but we got it all settled and all fixed. But, man, I tell you, 30 minutes of radio before you get on here or 30 minutes of podcast, I'm a little bit exhausted.
Are you?
A little bit exhausted. I mean, when you've got to carry the Crosstalk Unhinged the way I do.
Wow. Yeah.
When you've got to carry it.
Right.
The driving force.
Sure.
It's like being in the Tour de France.
Yeah, right. You're going up here.
I'm in the lead, right?
Yeah.
And I'm driving the peloton the whole way. Then I go on a breakaway with five other riders, and nobody else wants to take the lead. I'd like to get back and just kind of draft a little bit myself.
Right. You don't want to go into
the
wind.
But here I am, just the driving force, and I try to relax, and then there's a lull in the conversation.
And then you have to pick it up.
Then I've got to drive.
You've got to be funny.
Peddling the entire time. My fat keister. Just keep paddling, while Sylvie and Waddle coasting behind the big drafty in front of them. The big draft. They're over. I'm punching such a hole.
You've got open air.
In the air, these guys are just cruising right behind me.
They're going half speed, but they're keeping pace with you because they're riding the draft.
Then we get to the last kilometer. Okay. That's what they say in France.
Where you
kilometers, right. Yeah.
I got nothing left. I'm on E, right? Meanwhile, these guys, woo, look at us now. Woo, final kilometer. Whoa, we're going to finally make an effort. Killing me. Absolutely killing me.
And now you got to carry us for 2 hours.
No. I'm going to ride along in this one. But I'll tell you this. And I told him I'm not going to be here next week.
Yeah.
It's my birthday week.
You're off.
Happy birthday.
Take some time. I'm going to be slapping a little white ball around, having some fun.
Of course.
But I told him I'm going to be. They want to cancel it already.
Well, I mean, you're not going to be there. The star of the show.
Isn't Carmen
no
going to be
hinged.
The star of the show.
Yeah, Carmen's going to be here. Three out of four players are there. That's what means
they're
going
to cancel it because you're
it
not
sounds
here?
To me like they want to cancel
sounds
the whole
like,
week.
Sounds like it's a Yurko podcast. That's what it sounds like.
I don't know
like.
What the hell's going on.
Wow, that's amazing. You walked in the door down here.
You're physically
we're waiting,
shaken
and
exhausted.
And you seemed like you just went through it.
Spent.
And we just wanted to open up the forum here to start the show to allow you to vent.
15 rounds with Tyson Fury. That's what it felt like.
Are they aware of your concerns that you're the one carrying this podcast?
They told me, Canelo Alvarez, 15 rounds with Canelo, they don't care. That's what they told me. They're the stars of the station, and they don't care, is what they said to me.
Is that a direct quote?
Direct quote. I believe it. Man, maybe I'm paraphrasing.
Paraphrasing.
Maybe I took six different conversations, and I pieced the word from six different conversations, and
but
I put them together.
But it was said. Those words
not
were said at some point.
Not in that particular order.
Right.
Yeah.
But you,
not
you
in that particular
rearranged
order,
them into that sentence.
But at some
sentence.
Point, I put them there to make it mean what I wanted it to mean.
You're not going to dial in from your vacation?
No.
Do a little,
we had
do
a good
little
one
20
too.
Minutes?
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
no.
they could have you call in.
Crosstalk Unhinged is done.
Sure. Yeah.
The podcast is going to be available a little bit later. It's going to be up, and it's going to be ready to rock. I think it's entertaining. You guys will have some fun.
Great. Fantastic.
Yeah. And we call it, I think, what are we calling it today? Alien something. Alien Wiener I think we're calling this one. It's being titled. You know how you title every one of yours? Like Marble Rye. Right. Remember they did that, Marble Rye? You guys are too young to watch.
No, I've seen every Seinfeld.
Friends? Oh, no, Seinfeld, yeah.
Seinfeld is Marble Rye.
That was Seinfeld for sure. Yeah. Marble Rye.
Marble Rye is the other four white person
show. And Beefarino's in the same episode.
Yes. Yeah.
Why did they go with Beefarino?
I don't know.
Beefarino is better than Marble Rye.
I think the market research suggested that the Marble Rye may do better.
The Beefarino was the funniest aspect of the whole thing.
It was.
Is there a copyright issue with Beefarino? Beefarino is a real product, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
It was.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right, so Yurko's here.
I'm here. I'm ready to rock.
Carmen and Yurko's show, 312-332-3776. We promised people weird, so hopefully this gets a little strange.
It's going to get weird.
We've got more energy here than the White
Sox. We got like 30 things to give away today, too.
And Yurko.
Non-stop.
Last night.
When they need something to give away, they just say, throw it to Carmen and Yurko. They'll give it away.
We got time. 2 hours.
We'll give it away.
Give them everything.
You know, last night on the show, I think it was the most angry we've talked to White Sox fans.
Yeah.
White Sox fans last night upset.
You get them fresh, guys.
Oh, yeah. But
you guys get them fresh as daisies when the anger is the freshest.
But sometimes that dies off as the evening continues.
Yeah.
Last night, people were very upset about what took place. And you lose 3-4 to the Royals. You come home, you get the Tigers. This is supposed to be the easy part of the schedule.
It was.
This team is not performing to the expectation whatsoever. And mainly, I'm frustrated at the offense. We were having a debate last night about who to blame with this whole situation, and the conversation about should the blame mainly go to Tony La Russa, or are we okay to look at the players and ask more from the players to this point in the season?
It's always the players. The manager sets the expectations at the atmosphere. But it's the players that are to blame. 95% of this falls upon the players. I don't care what anybody says. Tony would be the fall guy, and it's okay. Okay, Sleepy Tony can go for all I care. And I don't know if that would kickstart or jumpstart their heart or you'd get a little bit of a pop. But no, I look directly at the players for what's happening here. This is a player failure, personnel failure.
Well, I agree with you that it's mostly on the players. But I also believe that it's more than 5% on Tony La Russa because it's more than that. It's not an even 100%, I don't think. I think it's like 60 players, 20 front office, 20 La Russa, and then that's 100%, right? Yeah, that's 100%.
Yeah.
So to me, because when you set it yourself, you set the expectations, you set the tone, and when your tone is, I'm this sleepy manager who my press conferences are boring and I don't really show any effort. And I've told, like, you're supposed to be this hard-nosed manager and you have this precedent set where guys aren't running to first base. And even if they're not on the list of guys that aren't supposed to be running hard to first base, everyone else is doing it. They just don't seem like they have any energy. You would think that a hard-nosed manager would make a statement and bench someone when they don't run hard to first base or something like that. I also think that when you fire a manager, it can send a message. The Phillies are 40-20 now since they fired Joe Girardi.
Yep.
Is that just because they're a better team because Girardi's not there? Do they play inspired? Like, if this team was like, hey, guess what? They shut the door. They say, look, the organization is saddling us with Tony La Russa. We're going to win in spite of him. Whatever, like, we're going to go do, we're going to do our own thing. Like, we're not going to not listen to him, but he's going to be sleepy. We're not. We're going to go out and win in spite of him. Instead, they're like, this guy doesn't seem to care, so why should we care? Like, if he's not going to discipline us, then whatever. What should it matter?
I feel like that's an easy cop-out, though. These are professional athletes.
Yes.
And there's a standard that should be there just because you're a professional athlete and you want to succeed.
There
you want to be great. But, like, when you look up and down that lineup, who are those in the lineup who are having great seasons? Andrew Vaughn? I mean, there's very few individuals who are having good offensive seasons.
Yeah, Dylan Cease is the only one, and he's not on the odd. Like, he's a pitcher. So you can't. It doesn't
in
count.
In the lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah,
No one is.
No one is. You can't say like okay, so Vaughn's having a decent season, but you expected, you know, when healthy. I mean, Robert was supposed to be an MVP candidate this year. I know he had injuries and everything, but when he's healthy, he's supposed to be an MVP candidate. Abreu's won an MVP. He's been the only solid player throughout this entire season so far, and in August especially. But other than that, I can't point to anybody that's having a good season.
This offense doesn't hit home runs. They're 25th in baseball in home runs hit this season. They're 20th in OPS. They're 17th in runs scored offensively. And to me, I'm pointing to the offense. I'm pointing to the core players. That's who I'm blaming for this, is that the core players are not leading this team. We thought that there was a core here that could chase championships, And clearly,
it's been misidentified.
They have not lived up to. And Yurko, what was it that Rick Hahn pointed to? He pointed to the 60 game sample when they're all healthy. Except whenever they are all healthy, at this point they don't perform. Mm-hmm. And then they're all in and out of the lineup constantly. Tim Anderson now going to be missing for some time.
Oh, he's going to be missing till the end, six weeks.
And so when you have that, it is hard to see how this team gets out of this situation without just saying, yeah, just fire the manager and that's all that needs to happen. Because I think there's much more that needs to happen with the rest of the lineup.
Unfortunately, now that you've got like 106 or 107 games under the table now you start to see where this is more than a 60-game sample, the first 60 of the year, going, okay, this is a 500 team. Is it going to remain a 500 team? We've been waiting them to go on a run. Cleveland Guardians have gone on the run.
Yes.
So there are two teams chasing Minnesota. One of them's going on a run, and the other one's mired in mediocrity. Right?
Once
and the
again.
Twins, with all the changes they wanted, they still haven't been able to find a way to fire. Okay, so the team that did it was the Guardians. They said, okay, nobody wants this. We're going to take the bull by the horns, and we're going to make this happen for ourselves. And there they go.
The Guardians have won 5 in a row. They're 7-3 in their last 10. The White Sox are 5-5, and they've lost 2 in a row. And obviously, they went 3-4 against the Royals. And now they come home to face off against the Tigers this weekend. Another bad team. The Tigers are bad. They're 43-70. Theoretically, you should have a good weekend, but we haven't seen the Sox team perform.
How much energy was there in this city for the White Sox at the beginning? Okay, this was the year. This is going to happen. Now, the offseason didn't leave you going, oh, man, look at what the White Sox have done. They've really improved this team.
They didn't do anything.
That didn't happen. That didn't happen this offseason. So you didn't have that. So everything was predicated upon, okay, went to the playoffs twice in a row. We've got to do better than we did the last 2 years.
Right.
Where we played 4 games and we lost 3-1 every single time.
Assumed progression, right?
Yeah. Assumed progression.
312-332-3776. Adrian in Chicago, you want to join us? Go ahead, Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Good, man. Just listening to what you guys are talking about, I think one of the situations that nobody talks about, all these guys got paid already. So if the organization is saying we don't care by giving you La Russa, you know, what desire do Moncada, all these guys, Luis Robert, they all got signed for long extensions, right? Who's going to play? It's like, all right, they don't give a damn, why should we?
Nah, they're competitors.
You know? If they're saddling us with this coach, you know, I mean, if you were telling me these guys are all in contract years, you think they'd be playing like this?
Well, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Just give guys one-year deals and hope that they play for the next contract? Like, the one guy that you can say is still playing for something is Jose Abreu is 35 years old and only has a few years left in this league. And I would think that he would want the best attempt to try to win a ring in this. And yeah, like some of these guys are signed through 2025 and Luis Robert signed through 2028 and Lois 2027. So yeah, a lot of these guys have gotten paid, but
here's your dilemma though.
But everybody else is only through 2025.
So what keeps him motivated? Luis Robert. Okay. This year's salary 6, next year's 9.5, 2024 it's 12.5, 15 million. He tops out at the age of 27. Then who has the options? The team does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? In the next 2 years, it's a $20 million team option with a $2 million buyout. Oof. If Luis Robert is doing what he's doing now, the team's going to give him $2 million and tell him to go take a walk. 12 home runs? Really? That tells me MVP? No.
It doesn't get it done.
He's not in the top 100 in the American League when it comes to MVP.
We're talking
top
White Sox 100. With you, Yurko, Black, Abdallah. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. We'll be back.
And then Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Welcome, Abdallah, in with Yurko today. Watch on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Yurko has put Abdallah in a bear hug as we come out of break. You got to turn your mic on.
Yeah, he's got to turn my mic on.
As you're just talking there.
I can't reach over him.
I've got to.
You can't. Easy there, Chance.
You've already reached between my legs.
Listen, I was just taking a nap. I was taking a nap in his crevasse. Taking a nap in his crevasse.
Hey, right here up against the side boob, right, man. It's very comfortable right there.
Nestle in there.
I rode Gideon's hog yesterday. Yeah. I'm going to nestle in Yurko's crevasse.
I was going to say, wiggle your ears. My boobs itch.
Tom in Crest Hill, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Not a whole lot. Aside from, you know, what we all know with the injuries and the owner, you know, likely meddling with the roster, it just seems like the team and the core was built around all offense. And that was something that worried me a lot, because you very seldomly do you see high-octane offensive teams that don't have defense or fundamentals or anything like that win or have successive championships, let alone, you know, winning a World Series. Because when the offense slows down, your team, you know, doesn't really have a whole lot else. You know, you see a lot of the base running mistakes. You're seeing a lot of defensive lapses, a lot of mental errors. And there's only so much the pitching is going to be able to do. I mean, the starting pitching's been pretty good this season, despite the injuries and the Davis Martins and the Jimmy Lamberts having to fill in. It just seems like it's a young, maybe slightly better version of the Kenny Williams style offense that he loves. He loves the high octane offense, the power hitting guys, the multi sport athletes. And you don't have any of those gritty actual baseball players, guys that won the World Series for them in 05. They didn't have any really big name studs except for Paul Konerko. And, you know, Scott Pacetic was an all-star that year, but those were baseball players. Those
Jermaine
guys
Dye.
Knew what they were doing. Yeah. Jermaine Dye, yeah. So,
Joe Creedy.
Joe Creedy had a career year that year. Everybody clicked. They got really lucky that year, but. And it's not just the White Sox. You see other franchises that win a World Series with those kind of teams, and then they go immediately away from it and try and get the sexy offense and try and, you know, for whatever reason, they go away from what makes them successful. The 2002 Angels are another example. The Sox just didn't do that, and they got obsessed with offense, and they took very lazy approaches to the offseason, you know. They never go premium in free agent signings. Even Grandal wasn't a premium signing. He was a couple years past his prime while still being serviceable, but that's your most expensive franchise player is Yasmani Grandal. I mean, he's never hit above 220 consistently, and he's your highest franchise player? I mean,
no, he's the highest contract signed in free agency, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what the highest contract designation is there.
Well, and also, if you remember, two off seasons ago, after I believe they lost out on Machado, Rick Hahn met the media and said that our stars are here. Like, we've homegrown our stars. Like, these are our guys. This is why we didn't go out and spend on stars, because we believe that Luis Robert's a star, that Eloy's a star, that Tim Anderson's a star, that Abreu, Moncada, that all these guys are our offensive stars. So we don't need to go out there and spend money on offense, because we've been grooming these guys for so long, and now they're finally up here.
Pete and Bartlett, you're on ESPN 1000. What do you think, Pete?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Can you guys comment on how Yoan Moncada has digressed so much from 2019, where he had 315 with 25 jacks? I don't understand it.
Neither do I, and I think that's a solid point. And I think that's what Abdallah's pointing to, is like, this is a player that was supposed to be a star. Mm-hmm. In 2019, he had 34 doubles, he had 25 home runs, he had 79 RBI, and when you look at the years following that, the power numbers simply just are not there. Obviously, the 2020 season was short, but 2021, he had 14 home runs, 61 RBI. This season, he has 6 home run, 32 runs batted in. I mean, that's insane. Like, this is supposed to be one of the stars of this offense.
Seems to be a common theme here. 2025, he's got a $25 million team option with a $5 million buyout. Mm-hmm. And if this team doesn't start doing something and making some noise, boy, these buyouts are going to come into play. The White Sox are going to spend a ton of money on buyouts. In 2024, at the age of 29, he's going to make $24.8 million.
Sure. And he doesn't play Moncada, like a player. Right.
He's a 108 career lifetime OPS plus.
Yeah.
108 means he's 8% better than the average player.
8%.
8%.
And if you look at OPS Plus for the entire lineup, how many guys are way above it? It's going to be Vaughn and Tim Anderson, right? And maybe Abreu? Who are like way above like a 110?
Yeah.
Okay, so 127. Because everyone else would probably fall in line around like 105, 108. Right, and I'm sure Vaughn
if you're Yasmin Grandal, you'll fall at below. About 56.
Yeah, you're below. But native. I'm sure Vaughn is what, probably 135, 140. Tim Anderson's probably above 140.
He's 109 right now. Tim Anderson, OPS plus 109.
Oh, I was way off. Oh,
his career is 105, 7 year average with a high in 2020 of 140.
Oh, I'm thinking of Wade runs created plus then.
Yeah, I think that's what you're thinking. But runs created plus. But which
I don't want to see is complacency. You know what I mean? Like, we saw it from the Cubs after they won, and the offense, quote, broke, according to Theo and Jed, and they didn't do anything. They didn't add anybody. Like, they traded for Castellanos at the trade deadline, but then they let him go, and they didn't re-sign him. So I don't want to see Rick Hahn and Jerry Reinsdorf and Kenny Williams be complacent. There's obviously something that's been wrong the second half of last year and going through all of this year. And so you have to make changes. You can't just be like, well, they did it before, so they're going to do it again, because we saw what happened on the north side. Yeah, they won a World Series. That's the biggest difference, obviously. So they knew their guys could perform and win a World Series, and they went back to the NLCS and all that kind of stuff. But I don't want to see these same guys out there. Like, spend the money. Do something. You have to add something to this offense to try to give it some pop somewhere. Otherwise, I don't want to see this again next year.
Brad in Willowbrook, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys. This is just such a disappointing season. The White Sox, it almost reminds me kind of like the Bears, about 3 years ago in 2019? You had all that hope and expectations from that season.
Yeah, 12-4 the year before. Thought they were going to come in, thought they were going to be special. Nope.
Assumed progression.
Yeah, exactly. And then what, they finish 8-8, and you got the White Sox here. They're probably going to finish 81-81. And it's nothing special with this season. It's down the drain, I think.
Thanks for the call, Brad. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Down the drain. I got a minor vibe on down the drain.
We go to Mo in Frankfurt. You're on ESPN 1000. Hello, Mo.
Good morning, gentlemen.
It's afternoon, but thank you.
Mo.
What's the matter to you guys? What's the matter to you guys? I'm talking to you. You want to sign Roquan?
Yes.
Oh, we're talking Bears now. Got it.
No, you're good. Don't worry about it.
I can talk socks. Go ahead.
No. Talk to us about Roquan Smith.
Yeah, come on, dude. The guy's not a Bear. Okay? Urlacher, Briggs, they never. Give me Tillman. They never stood out of training camp.
Urlacher had a major holdout in training camp 1 year.
So did Briggs.
He didn't participate in a majority of a training camp 1 year. In fact, there was a whole thing of Brian Urlacher wearing a bucket hat on the sideline. Like, that was just a picture every single day. So they both held out.
Okay. You got me, Abella.
Facts.
Fine. I didn't know that. Throw Urlacher out. But, I mean, I know Yurko agrees with me. We should have traded Patrick Kane a long time ago.
Hawks.
Three years ago.
Hawks talk.
Yeah, both of them. Yeah. Taves and Kane should have both been gone.
So we're going from Bears to Hawks.
Okay, Bears to Hawks. Got it.
No, but I mean, like, come on. Like, the guy doesn't want to be here, then let him go.
No, this is all positioning. This is business. This is what this is. You can't take none of what's happening right now personally. This is all business, what's happening at the Lake Frontier or Hal's Hall. So I can't, and plus, I'd say 95% of Bears fans are behind Roquan right now.
Mm-hmm.
No.
95%, Mo.
There you go. Will linebacker.
6'2", 245 is not a bad little linebacker, though. Isn't that what we find our guy
at?
How
much money every year?
Yeah.
How much money did you lose?
Come on, Mo.
Mo, you put us on hold there momentarily.
What are you doing, Mo?
I don't know what happened.
Mo, you okay?
Did you under a bridge out there in Frankfurt?
Mo.
Are you on 355? Where are you at?
Mo. All right. Well, there you go, Yurko. That's Mo in Frankfurt. He calls the night show. He calls all shows. Sometimes at night, he gives us show notes.
Yeah.
But he was all over the place this afternoon.
Do you want some Roquan Smith news?
I would like to discuss the situation going on. I see what you're about to read. Go ahead.
Can you give me the thing that we did?
It's not breaking news.
No, it's not breaking news. Roquan Watch.
Oh, let's do that.
Roquan Watch. So according to Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, someone is calling teams on behalf of Roquan Smith to solicit trade interest. Per a league source, a person purporting to represent Smith has been calling other teams in order to gauge potential trade interest.
He's chef.
There's a problem with that. First, the person isn't an NFLPA certified agent, so right. He can't represent Smith or any other player.
That's right.
Second, Smith has not received permission to seek a trade. So this is what Florio writes. Basically, the person is setting up a potential tampering trap for any team that either engages in conversations regarding Smith or fails to promptly notify the Bears of the impermissible contact.
Are we sure it's not Roquan himself calling up?
Yeah, calling in disguise.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Is there any interest? Would you like
this?
This is Skip Along. How are
this
you?
This is Broquan.
I'm Dutch.
Briff.
Skip Along.
I represent Roquan Smith.
Roquan gets the music for calling other teams. With a phony voice.
Who is calling them? He's got like the voice box changer from Scream.
Not only that, because he doesn't have an agent, he can't solicit trades. This is great.
What's your favorite scary movie? I mean, do you want to trade for Roquan?
So do the Bears find him now, Yurko?
No. Do they find him for missing practice? Yes. I'd find him for just missing practice because once you took him off the pup list, that's move number one. That's like moving your pawn forward two. Okay, now the next move here is, all right, he's not going to practice. You've got to find him.
Is there any way he could be penalized for this action? Someone like working on behalf of him who's not?
As long as he says, I have no knowledge or any idea what the hell you guys are talking about.
Right.
Could be some just idiot going out there calling teams.
Could be.
Yeah.
Or could be maybe.
Skip Along.
Or maybe it's him.
Could be him.
Who knows? We talked to Connor McKnight next.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
And Yurko, Black and Abdallah, filling in for Carmen today. Yurko is here. It's time to talk some White Sox. We've been talking White Sox with the fans here on ESPN 1000 at 312-332-3776. But guys, Connor has to talk to the fans after games with the White Sox post-game show. And he's there each and every game taking these calls. And Connor B., as we bring you in, just what's going on with this team, sir? What's happening?
They are, first of all, have to is such a, it is my great pleasure, honor, and
all
privilege.
Right, I put that the wrong way. It's the privilege to do it. Yeah, yes.
You did, and I appreciate your
every
apology,
second Friday.
Heartfelt, as though it is. You know, it's an offense that struggled all season long. It is now pretty clear that it's an offense that in a couple of different places has been pushing itself one way or another to try and overcompensate for the places that it hasn't been able to get on base, most specifically walks. It is an offense that chases outside the strike zone quite a bit. It's an offense that was already very, I like to use the word swingy. It likes to swing a lot, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is when you start to swing at pitchers' pitches and a whole bunch of breaking stuff outside the strike zone, and unfortunately for the White Sox, offensively, that's what they've been doing all season long. The walk rate that was so great last year has not turned around for them, and they've pitched fine. They've gotten more than enough to be right there in the AL Central and probably in some other divisions as well when you take a look at just the pitching. But that offense is middle of the road in its best places and just has not been exceptional in anything that's going to help score a lot of runs. In fact, you know, if you look at the offensive numbers, save walks, they compare almost exactly to the Cleveland Guardians. And that's not really a compliment at this point
in
these two franchises. It's really not. And I think more than anything else, that is pretty obviously what has made this season a 500 role so far. You know, it remains to be seen whether they can get this on track. It is certainly clear. I mean, guys, it is 100% clear at this point that the Central belongs to anybody who wants it. This is not going to be a division that anybody runs away with, I don't think. I think we're playing this one down to the very wire.
What happened to the power outage this year? Where did the power go? This team has 98 home runs. They don't even average a home run a game.
It's tough to say. They're not going to the opposite field. I mean, that's when you look at the distribution of home runs, Yerk, from last year to this year, you see guys like Jose Abreu going deep to the opposite field. You see guys like Luis Robert and Tim Anderson all being able to take the ball out to right, all as right-handed hitters, and that means something for this offense. Those have gone away. You look at the home run totals, like you say, they're not there, and most specifically, you know, those majestic Luis Robert right center field blasts aren't there. Tim Anderson poking 20 out to the right field corner isn't there right now. Why? Well, injuries are part of that, as boring as an answer as that is. Unfortunately, that is the case for the White Sox. Tim's missed a lot of time and will continue to miss a lot. Robert's been out for a little while for, you know, one very understandable reason and one that was kind of tough to figure out, tough to pin down. But even while they've been in there, that power to the opposite field hasn't been the same. If you look at other places and other teams, you find that to also be the case. The White Sox seem to be most affected by this difficulty in hitting the ball out of the ballpark the opposite way.
Connor McKnight joining us. He's brought to you by Commercial Tire Service. Connor, I know you're a pre- and post-game host for the White Sox. You're also a White Sox fan. And we had a moment yesterday where the bases were loaded, and I said to you, well, what do you expect? And you told me the expected runs when you have the bases loaded. Care to share?
Yeah, a lot. A lot of runs. In theory, Adam, if you were to get a hit over and over again with the bases loaded and no one out, you could score infinite runs. You can just keep scoring with a single over here and a double over there. And I feel like we're getting into an old McDonald's song or something like that. I mean, this is an opportunity. The average run scoring environment for that is like over two runs. Like it's like 2.1. You just need a hit into the gap and you're going to score two. But for the White Sox right now, I think it was 14 hits yesterday, 12 of them were singles, two of them were home runs, and one of those home runs had a runner on base. That's a really tough way to score runs. And when some of the guys that are hitting, I mean, you look at Yasmani Grandal, and God bless him, he's been getting his hits over the last four or five games, but he is a station-to-station guy right now, given his health and the fact that he just, you know, wasn't fast to begin with. So, you know, any hit where he's on first base, you need two more in order to score him, more or less. And that's just a really difficult proposition. You know, in this day and age, guys on base via walks, free passes, they put pressure on pitchers and allow for more slugging percentage. That's just the way this game works. And the Sox haven't been able to take advantage of either their walks or their slugging percentage with guys on base. And that's, you know, it comes to the forefront in an outing against Zach Greinke where, and he just got to play with people. He just got to, you know, mess with you a little bit. He had an at bat against Lenin Sosa with two outs and the bases loaded. Where, you know what it reminded me of? Do you guys remember when Chris Bryant made his major league debut, and in his first game, James Shields was up and he was throwing, and he was doing that thing that big game James would do and throw a bunch. He threw three straight changeups to Chris Bryant and just messed with him. It was a veteran messing with a rookie. And that's what ended the White Sox inning. Another two at-bats before that needed to go, and it's not Lenin's fault that he's playing in his sixth major league game against Zach Greinke, who could outthink anybody. But that's what the White Sox ran into that inning, amongst many other things.
Connor, if you had to place blame for the way this season has turned out, where would you place more of the blame towards, the players or Tony La Russa?
You know, it's difficult to play the blame game, especially
when...
Yeah, but do it. Yeah, that's what, yeah.
But do it anyway. Sure. You know, I mean, like, at the end of the day, I think each one of these players would say that their underperformance is on them, right? I mean, they did it last year while Tony La Russa was managing this ball club, and I don't think that there was some meeting before the 22 season that said, all right, that was great, now we're going to change everything. You know, I that's not how this works. And I think individually, when you look at yourself as players, you know, and Yerk, you can testify to this. You have a coach saying one thing or another, and sure, that's the way you're going to go out and try and get the job done. But at the end of the day, when it's, you know, two strikes and a man on third, you know what it is that you've been doing the last 25 years to get that job done, you know, all the way from T-ball into Babe Ruth and now the big. Like, that's there. So, you know, I think this is, at the end of the day, this is an individual sport. And while some things on the margins, you know, certainly the the base running hasn't been great and some mental mistakes haven't been there. And that can be affected by coaching, no doubt. But, you know, the largesse of the issues here, I think, rests individually on offensive players that have not measured up their numbers last year.
Michael Kopech on the mound today. It is the first game of a series, so that probably means a loss. But how does Michael Kopech not let what happened last game, where he only went 3 1/3 innings, happen tonight?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a. I almost gave you a point there.
Come
almost,
on, man! Don't let it enter your head like that. Give me the good question.
I was looking at the green and I thought to myself, "Go for it." You know, shoot over the water hazard. Put it on, baby. Nah. And then I was like, nah, you know what? Layup. Take the layup. Choke up just a little bit. Hit the 180-yard. You know, just put it right there and then get yourself up and down for par. So anyway, it's a quality query. However,
damn it.
I think what it takes is it's breaking ball location for Michael. That fastball, whether it's in the zone or not, is going to get guys to swing and miss. And if they're not missing at it, they're grounding out in the double plays. I think that's what we've seen a lot because he's got that kind of movement on it. He needs to have a lot better breaking ball command and finesse and location there. I think that's what got him last time around. And even still, you know, those innings, they were undone on his own accord. It wasn't necessarily guys making great swings on good pitches. It was him getting it away from him. And that hasn't happened much this season, even though I think you could call it an up and down season for Michael Kopech, even though the numbers overall are pretty good. I think the struggles have been there. But the fact that you can point to, like, you know, a much better than average major league starter coming out of this season is a testament to how good Kopech can be.
Thank you, Connor. We appreciate it. Have a good broadcast
tonight. Anytime, fellas. Anytime. I appreciate the thoughtfulness you put into your questions. One might call them good.
Yeah, they're nice. It was a nice attempt there by Abdallah.
He's going to be the new Woj. It's like when Woj on draft night, when he's like, the Bucks are thinking about, and it's just say good question, man. Come on, give us the points.
You'll hear Connor McKnight with McKnight the movie is at 1:35 with us this afternoon, but also 5:30 pregame tonight, White Sox and Tigers. You'll hear it right here on ESPN 1000. Connor will have the pregame and the postgame show right here on ESPN 1000. Len Casper and Darren Jackson will have the call of the game as well right here on ESPN 1000. So Yurko selected a song of the day. Usually we have the song of the night on Black and Abdallah each and every night. Yurko has selected a song. We will hear what that song is next.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That's right. It's Free Ticket Friday presented by Miller Lite and FanDuel right here on ESPN 1000. Caller 10 at 312-332-3776. You get tickets to the Diamondbacks and the White Sox on August 26th. Caller 10 at 312-332-3776. We'll have another pair of tickets to give away at 1:45 right here on Carmen and Yurko.
And also Chris and Yurko. Miller Lite is giving away an additional 6 tickets starting this Friday through 3 different bars. That's one pair each per bar, and it's all courtesy of Miller Lite. You'll have those opportunities from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight. That's 6 to 8 p.m. at Alley Grill and Tap at Thunderbolt in Mokena, Polly's Pub in Aurora, and the Whistle Sports Bar in Tinley Park.
Free Ticket Friday right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Your chance to win White Sox tickets throughout the day between Carmen and Yurko and Waddle and Sylvie this afternoon right here on ESPN 1000. Before we get to the song of the day / night, I do want to mention, Yurko, have you seen what's going on in the bathroom on the 7th floor?
I have not.
So a couple days ago, we noticed that someone left a Axe body spray canister.
I did see that, if that's what we're talking about, in the front left.
Right
portion.
In the corner, tucked into the corner there.
Yes.
Something has developed over the course of the last 24 hours.
What has been going on?
Mr. Abdallah and many others have been contributing mints, gum, wipes, masks, all kinds of other little items.
Like we're at the club.
Yes.
Yeah, you're at the club.
Yeah.
complimentary condoms, I hope, at some point.
I didn't see those.
Not yet.
You can be the one to bring those in.
You want to add those for the group.
Yeah.
All of those. You know, always be safe.
Yeah, you can add those
safe
if you want to.
Sex is great sex.
So I added a pack of Orbit gum and a tin of mints, individually wrapped, of course. We don't want to, you know.
Right, yeah. You don't want any problems. You don't want to be the guy
here
in the bowl there.
Same with the condoms here.
Yeah, we should individually wrap those. You don't just want a loose bag of condoms.
All fresh, yeah.
Please.
No use prophylactics.
Yeah, please. No,
sir.
And then today I go in there and I tweeted out the picture at Adam A. Abdallah, and we now have a thing of Listerine, which. I don't think we should be sharing Listerine. But
well, if you put it in a little cup, it's not an issue.
That's fair. We need little cups, though,
little
then.
Little Dixie cups. Remember the little Dixie cups with riddles on them?
Yeah.
So there's a pair of whole-body deodorant wipes, or a pack of them. There's some floss. There's some conditioner, if someone wanted to condition their hair. But there's no shampoo. There's some hand moisturizer. There's some floss and some white cloth facial masks.
So at some point next week, I may just take a chair in there and just hang out.
Well, maybe you should contribute some blue chews individually wrapped.
Put some blue chews right there in the corner.
There,
that would be nice,
case,
right?
Guy's going out for an evening, happens to visit our bathroom on the 7th floor.
Freshen up, grab a blue chew, head on out.
When you don't think you need it, you might absolutely need it. Use it once, and guess what? It'll never be the same again.
Well, right. And then you'll be a repeat customer at BlueChew.com.
I'm telling you, we're going to walk in here one day and someone is going to be sitting there. And it's not going to be because I haven't been to a bar since the pandemic started that has a bathroom attendant, right? So obviously I've been to bars and everything, but the bars that I used to go to, I'd be like, hey, man, I don't have any cash. Have bathroom attendants evolved to now have like a QR code for their Venmo?
I'm sure some have.
There is?
Yep.
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm. Didn't there used to be a little cube you could put on the back of your phone and just slide a credit card through there?
Yeah, you could do that square.
I mean, that's ridiculous,
square,
too.
Thanks.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily pandemic-induced. I think it's more of a no-one-carries-cash induced.
Well,
that's fair.
All right.
Oh, here comes Yurik. Yeah, here you go, Tyler.
Here comes Yurik with a bunch of soy stuff.
You guys
handing out hundreds?
No, how much cash are you carrying on you right now?
Right now, it's zero.
I may have like three loose dollars in my book bag.
I have zero cash with me.
$0.
I got about a $775 cash on me.
Big winner.
No, what happens when a card game breaks out? What are you guys going to do? On credit?
Well, you're not going to play a card. When was the last time I played a card game?
I got a live card game every Thursday night in Munster.
Yeah, but that you planned.
Are you still living in the early 2000s where the poker boom is still taking
some
place?
Some real dignitaries.
Look at you, Chris Moneymaker over there.
You planned for that.
Gentlemen. The poker boom is never dead.
Oh, okay.
It's never dead. It may not be as lively as it once was in 03 through like through 10.
It was a big deal.
It's still live, though.
You can always find a nice money game.
Okay, there's
absolutely
just up and down the street. You can find a game.
Dignitaries.
Okay. All right.
No, some real luminaries that I play with.
You get a chance to host with us today.
Mayors, doctors, educators, and such.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And all the educators and the doctors who are in your poker game.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Each night on the show, Black and Abdallah, we have the song of the night. Yurko wants to participate today. We love it. So here you go. Song of the day.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
Today's song... We go to Starland Vocal Band, Afternoon Delight, promo code ESPN, BlueChew.com. From 1979.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day. Is always gonna be here anyway.
Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so excited.
Sky rockets in flight.
Requested this song
sure.
is mm-hmm. because it's really the first time you guys and I have been here in this studio as a threesome. Now, yeah, you guys are true. In the other studio, but yeah. in this studio,
yes. yeah.
it's the first time, and I think we are giving the world a little afternoon delight.
I
are
hope
we
so. Not? I love it.
And who doesn't love Anchorman and Champ and all the boys?
It's great.
As they sing great. This yeah. little ditty. Yes.
This song absolutely. Came out in 1976 and reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
And dual-purposed.
It was nominated for 3 Grammys. It won That's the surprise. Grammy for Best Arrangement for Voices. It was nominated for Best Pop Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocals and also for Song of the Year. Also voted Creepiest Song of All Time.
Really?
Yeah, fact.
Creepiest song of all time.
You remember the scene in Arrested Development? Maybe, and her dad.
Maybe that helped.
Are singing
Tobias. You're right.
That's why. Like, people think of Anchorman, I always think of Arrested Development.
Yeah, it's true.
With this song.
I thought I'd introduce a little of the night to the day.
I appreciate it. I like
How
it.
How about that?
Have you ever played Afternoon Delight while...
Oh, to set the mood.
Afternoon delighting?
No, this not, doesn't get it done.
Not my...
No.
You're
no.
not that on the nose? Like,
what's your go-to, Alice Cooper?
Chop Suey. From
System.
System of a Down. Grab a little bit of... Well, Chop Suey.
Starland Vocal Band, Afternoon Delight. It's your song of the day with Yurko. Afternoon Delight. Afternoon
Delight. Afternoon Delight.
Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Check this out!
On ESPN 1000.